Okay. Moav Rabbi Sai. I must say how impressed I am, both with the learning that we've enjoyed doing throughout the week, but mostly with a few hours before traveling with 1,000 tirdas on the cop and presents for all the kids back home. And nevertheless, the tzibur gets together in valuing the chashivas of grabbing an opportunity for an extra sugya. We tried to make it a very geshmaki sugya for this afternoon. Let us try together, Be'ez Hashem, to plumb the depths of the sugyas of competition and copying other people's things. Now, these are really two separate subjects, and I'll try and explain how they relate to one another. We all know, we're all aware of this, of Gzela. I'm not allowed to go into somebody else's pocket and take away something from him. That's well-known, simple, straightforward Gneiva. Question arises in today's world where a fellow prints a sefer, a fellow has some information which he's worked on, and that's available online, either easier or harder, but I can get a hold of it, and I copy all his information. Is this an issa of gzela or not? Now, there's really two points to consider in this question. Number one, is he in the first place a bailim, an owner, on his chokhmah? We know from the Torah that I own possessions. I own a house, I own a car, I own my money. You take those things away from me, that's a gazela. Is there an ownership? Is there bailus on something like chokhmah? Imagine a situation in which Albert Einstein was sitting on the chair and he's writing his theory of relativity on the paper, which he's worked on, and he's invested all his chokhmah, and I stand behind him and copy out the information. Now, did I take anything away from him? I didn't. The piece of paper where he wrote all his chokhmah is still there in front of him. Can we find a chair for you, Rebbe, my dear friend? This is... No, I've got to be able to see you. No, that doesn't... That's impossible. Oh, now we... Should we start from the beginning again, really? Ah, fine. So, I stand there and I copy out his chokhmah. Am I doing anything wrong? Is this called that I ganavt his chokhmah? Is he a bailim on his chokhmah? What sort of ownership does he have on his chokhmah? And is he able to stop me copying that chokhmah? That's one question, which applies not only to Albert Einstein's chokhmah, it applies to somebody who made music, and it applies to somebody who made a book, and it applies to a fellow who wrote something medical. There's endless chokhmah around in the world. Is there a bailus on chokhmah? That's one question. We know, generally, the Ramah says that bailus is only an odava sheyesh boi mamash. Something tangible. This sefer belongs to me. Nobody can take it. I'm a bailim on something tangible. Something intangible, there isn't really bailus. Give an example. Might not be the best of examples, but give an example of this. There's a concept that people always say, Gezel Shino. I make a noise and my roommate can't sleep, and they say in the name of Yisrael Salanta that I'm called a ganav because I stole from him his sleep. But any rabbi you will speak to, I think, will tell you that hardcore gazela you haven't done. You didn't take anything away from him. You didn't take away something tangible. You disturbed him sleeping. You're a mazik. You're not allowed to do so. It's not nice. It's not good midas. You have to be considerate of other people. I'm not condoning disturbing somebody else sleeping. But if I did disturb somebody else sleeping, technically, I wasn't over on the issa of gzela. I just stopped him being able to sleep. What's the din if I copy somebody else's chokhmah? Is there a bailus? Is there not a bailus? That's one question. Now, If there's a bailus on Chochma, so obviously I can't copy somebody else's disk and I can't copy somebody else's information because I'm gathering from him is Chochma. If we would say that there is no bailus on Chochma, then there comes another consideration. Am I allowed to take the information that he worked on and now create a business which is competing with his business? Is this fair competition or unfair competition? Is it allowed or not allowed? What's this dependent on? This depends on a Gemara in Bava Basra which says that general competition is allowed. There's a fellow who lives in New York who's a baker, and I turn up in New York and I'm also a baker. There's enough parnasa for both. Till now he enjoyed that everybody bought by him, and now there's another baker, and there's a competition. Says the Gemara, that's allowed. The Gemara asks a question from a story wherein there was one fellow who took out his rod and he went fishing. He throws in his line and he's waiting there for the tug on his line. And another fellow comes along, takes his rod, throws it in. And the Chachamim said that the second fellow is not allowed to put in his rod and go fishing because he's competing with the first fellow who put in his rod first. Fred the Gemara, if I'm allowed to open another bakery in New York, why am I not allowed to throw in another rod to go fishing when somebody else has already thrown in his rod? Why does he get more rights by throwing in his rod to go fishing first than the fellow who opened the bakery first? And I'm allowed to open a second bakery. If I can open a second bakery, then I can open a second fishing rod. And the Gemara answers two words. It's a Gemara we have in front of us, those who have the booklet in front of you. It's on page Kuf Chav Dalad. The Gemara says, Shani Dogim. The story of the fish is different. Why is it different? The Yahavi Sierra. Because he already threw in his rod. So what? So throwing in the rod is different than the fellow who already set up a bakery? The fellow set up a bakery, I'm allowed to compete with him. And the fellow who threw in his rod, I'm not allowed to compete with him. What's the difference? There's a major machloikas rishonim as to the understanding as to why the fellow who threw in his rod first, I'm not allowed to compete with him. Many rishonim learn the pshat as follows. Until the first fellow threw in his rod with the little worm on the end, there was no reason for any fish to come to this part of the coast. Punkt, where I'm standing, why should there be fish? He threw in his rod with a worm, and the fish sense that, and they start swimming towards his rod. Once he's created this situation in which the fish are coming, I threw in my rod, and I'm going to compete with him, but I'm building on what he's invested. When I open another bakery, my business has nothing to do with his business. I'm allowed to compete. But I'm not allowed to compete when I'm using something which he has already invested. He invested, he put in his rod, he put in the fish, he put in the worm, and I'm using that service and now building my business on top of that. That I'm not allowed to do. Yavi Sira, he already put in his rod. If that's the case, if one fellow printed a book about whatever it might be, some music about whatever it might be, and I open my own business and I make my own music, and I compete. That's fine. Fair competition. For me to go and download what he has and now use it or sell it, what am I doing? I'm building myself on somebody else's investment. I'm exactly the same as the fellow who's using the opportunity created by the fellow who already threw in his rod. However, there are others who learn different pshatim in the Gemara by the fishing rod. And according to those by the fishing rod, it could be that it's only by fishing. Otherwise, I'd be allowed to even take somebody else's chochma and go and compete with him. That's the sugya over here, page Kuf Chav Dalet. Now, historically, where did all the questions start in competing? It all started with the printing press. Until there was a printing press, every sefer had to be laboriously copied out and written out, and there was no business involved in Svarim. Forget Svarim, person had to afford it and get somebody to write out the whole sefer. came the printing press, which was a major tova to Klal Yisrael. Chasam Sofer says that the Rebbeinu Shalom gave this chochma so that we should be nene from the advantages of printing. On the other hand, it created business opportunities. And we start with a very famous tshuva of the Ramah. The Ramah lived what we could call almost at the beginning of printing, definitely at the beginning of Jewish printing. And the Ramah tells us a story in Tshuva Siman Yod, the very famous tshuva, and almost anybody and anything who discusses competition and copying, everything starts with this tshuva in the Ramah. If you look on page Kuf Nun Vav, the Ramah says the story, the way it took place in Venice. Maharam Padva was, besides being a major Talmud Chacham, he was also interested in helping Klal Yisrael. So he convinced a goy in Venice that the Yidden need Rambams, Mishneh Torah of the Rambam, and until now everybody has to get it written out, which means it is not available to the masses. And if you, Mr. Goy, and he says his name, are prepared to invest and print Rambams, so you'll see all the Yidlach all going to buy sets of Rambam, and you'll make a good business. And Kachav HaMaisa, the Goy invested and started making money. What happened? The next Goy came along and opened the same business and also printed the Rambam. How much is he charging? He's charging 1 ruble less than the first guy. Whatever price the first guy will make, you'll buy it by me 1 ruble less. And the Ramah goes to town about this. Fair competition, not fair competition, allowed or not allowed. And what's mavur in the tshuva of the Ramah is that it is true that ever since Jewish printing came, there was an accepted minig that the Rabbonim would give you a letter, which you printed at the front of the sefer, and the Rabbonim would write that we, with the authority that we have here in town, we don't give permission for anybody else to compete with this fellow for the period of the next 20 years. And this, you see in the Ramah and the Chasam Sofer, was a matter of the koyach of a rov. Everybody in town has to listen to the rov, and the rov felt that for the benefit of the community, this is a sensible takana to make. In other words, it's not forbidden because of competition. It's not forbidden because of leisigzal. It's not forbidden according to the rules of the Torah. It's included in the dinim of general takanas that a rov can make. If that's the case, says the Ramah, the rabbi in Venice has an opinion about what the people in Venice do. The rabbi in Venice can't tell the people in Amsterdam what to do. So the limit of the letter written by the Rav is going to limit the people who are within his parish, who have to listen to him. Beyond that, he has no koch. Comes the tshuva of the Sholem Meshiv, which we have printed over here. If I can find it over here, the Sholem Meshiv, a landmark tshuva of the Sholem Meshiv over here on page Kuf Nun and Kuf Nun Aleph, where the Sholem Meshiv writes that, in my opinion, he says, there's a bailus on chochma, and a person who sets up a business in which he's selling his chochma, you're not allowed to take away and compete with that business. And if I printed my own sefer, Chidushei Reb Noach, you're not allowed to go and compete with Chidushei Reb Noach. And he brings many riots, and in his opinion, there is a bailus on chochma. The whole of page Kuf Nun over here is riots that there's a bailus on chochma. In page Kuf Nun Aleph, the Sholem Meshiv got a problem. If there's a bailus on chochma, and if you hold that the Issa, the Reis of Leisigzel, says that you're not allowed to compete with a fellow who's printing a sefer, why in the tshuva of the Ramah and the story of Maharam Padva and Venice was such a weak business that the rabbi in town and his opinion and it doesn't bind anybody outside of the town? What happened to this of Gzela? So Sholem Meshiv says what we would say is it's an interesting kvetch. Says Sholem Meshiv, in the story of Maharam Padva, there was no bailim on the chochma. The bailim on the chochma was the Rambam. The Rambam's long not here. Elamai, you have a business in which you're printing the sefer of the Rambam. On that there was a whole fight. The Ramon, backwards and forwards, Maharam Padva. That's when there's no bailus on the chochma because the Rambam is already available for everyone. But, says the Sholem Eshev, if I put out a sefer with my chidushim, or if I put out a disc with my music on, or if I put out anything in which I've invested my chokhmah in it, then the Sholem Eshev's opinion is that I'm a bailim, and anybody who takes anything from my chokhmah is called a gazlan. That's the opinion of the Sholem Eshev, which, big debate about this, and huge relevant shilas. There's one more nakuda that, for as long as we have, that we're able to be ma'ayin, we'll try to look at, and that is Akasha, which the Sholem Eshev, the Chasam Sofer, and many others ask, and has big ramifications here. We've learned so far a discussion in Gemara and Baba Basra about competing. And we know from the Gemara, I have a bakery in New York, somebody else comes and opens another bakery, he's allowed to do so. Fair competition. If it's along the same little road and it's a cul-de-sac and I make my business before his and nobody else can get to one before the other, in extreme examples, you're not allowed to compete. Any other case, you're allowed to compete. That's the Gemara in Baba Basra. Problem is the Gemara in Kiddushin. The Gemara in Kiddushin talks about an oni hamahapuch b'charora. There's an oni walking along the road, and he sees that over there there's somebody lost something. There's a matziah which anyone can pick up. And I see him walking towards it. The item is hefka. He's walking along towards getting it. I see what's happening over there. I run past him, and I take it. Says the Gemara, oni hamahapuch b'charora is the lowest of bad middos, a rasha. Nowhere in the world are you allowed to be an onim hapach b'charora. This is paskin and shuror chayish mishpat. You're not allowed to go and chap that item which he's trying to get. And the shuror says it makes no difference if he's trying to pick up something from hefka or he's trying to buy a house. And you know he's trying to buy a house, and you gazump and you take the house. He's onim hapach b'charora. You're not allowed to do that. So there's one major question here. If I'm not allowed to pick up an item which he wanted to pick up, I'm not allowed to buy a house which he wanted to buy, I'm not allowed to employ the cleaning lady which he wanted to employ, anybody who was there and had started the process, even though he hasn't yet hired the services of that person, but he's already started the process, you're not allowed to jump ahead of him and take it. If so, how does the Gemara on Baba Basra allow competition? This fellow has a bakery. And in his bakery, he's hoping to sell to all the people in Barabak. And I come on the next road, I make another bakery. What's happening? He set up a business. He's trying to get all these people in town to buy by him. And lo and behold, I'm poaching customers from him. So it would appear to be a steer between two Gemaras and a steer between two Sifrei Shulchan. If you have your booklets, for those who have them, you'll see on page Kuf Chav Ches, Kuf Chav Tes, where the Shulchan Aruch says that general competition between two stores is allowed, and many different examples of competition which is allowed. And yet you turn to page Kuf Lamed Vav, and the Shulchan Aruch says, Hamachazer Achatov L'Knoisa, if I know that somebody's trying to buy something, Oy L'Sochroi, or he wants to rent it, whether that item is a karaka or metaltlin, and somebody else comes and buys it when the first fellow had already started the process before him, nikra rasha, he's called a rasha and he's not allowed to do that. So if you're called a rasha when you jump ahead of somebody to pick up something that he was trying to get hold of, why am I not called a rasha when I open a store and I try and take your customers away? This is a major kasha. How do we reconcile the sugya of competition, which is allowed, with onim hapach b'charora, which is not allowed? My Rabbi Isai, we're looking forward to learning and discussing these sugyas for the next hour, hour and a half.